Once upon a time, not so long ago, there was a little dog and his name was Alvin, and he had an outpost. And as he woofed his way through some magic words, Rudolph, oh Rudolphus, oh fat furry beard puss, wake up and look at the thing that I bring. Wake up, be bright, be golden and light. Rudolph, oh hear what I sing. The lights come on, and in one corner, an ancient Kenwood Teesmaid gurgles to life. The Trumbles scurried back into the vents. Amelia and Flossie yawned and put their duvets away. Sandy Crevice scratched himself and farted softly. The apology officer ate a breakfast of cold kebab and an out-of-date packet of crisps. Even Rudolph roused for a moment before returning to his slumber. Once he was asleep, he was just an old, saggy, weird-smelling human. Baggy and a bit loose at the seams. But Alvin loved him.
Our mics are live. Somewhere.
Somewhere.
Seamless.
And on that wonderful start to the evening, welcome to the evening show. Hello, I'm Sandy Crevice, and apparently it really will take more than magic words to keep me awake.
I'm Wilma Fingerdo, and I always sleep with one eye open, which is why I need to have special eye drops.
I'm Yet Harkness, and I have terminal bedhead.
I'm Norma Snookers, and I'm going to whip up a lovely crochet blanket for my next nap time.
Well, right, while everyone's still awake, let's get some headlines done. Virulent outbreak strikes the naughty step.
Sinister Hedgehog Assistance Group gets everything done.
That damage looks a little sore.
Galactic Pilots Exam Results Day.
And I round off with stats juggling that is the Hutton BGS news.
First this evening, authorities are installing temporary incarceration facilities elsewhere in Hutton Space, after reports were received of a particularly nasty batch of mods breaking out centred on the Hutton Naughty Step over in LHS 340. As reported last week, a number of Hutton truckers were struck down with a variety of symptoms after the annual Hutton Trucker Meet down in the Sol system, though the expected full outbreak was contained successfully and didn't spread to the general population. It does appear that the Typhoid Mary superspreader has been identified, and appears to be the utterly asymptomatic. Commander Deadmeat was caught on camera at the conference in Sol issuing far too many hugs and sitting in very close proximity to a number of commanders who subsequently came over with palpitations, shortness of breath and sweaty palms. Medics were quick to investigate, as usual reactions to proximity to Deadmeat tend to be running, screaming and scowling a lot. On return to sit at the lower step of the Naughty Step, a number of station personnel came down feeling a bit iffy, a sure sign of mods, which then became all of the station personnel having a big dose of the ick and quite a lot of lurgy. The only person on the orbital not affected appears to be Deadmeat, and in fact, he appears to be the vector, running around LHS 340 shaking hands with everyone before warning them of the plague. Security services locally have praised the population for not going into panic mode, or rejecting Deadmeat from the nearest airlock, though the station is currently under quarantine and has put out an emergency beacon asking for advanced medicines to be delivered to help them get on top of the situation. When investigating, Nurse Wyeth took a number of swabs from Deadmeat, using a very long stick with a sponge on the end, and of course while wearing the obligatory Hutton hazmat encounter suit. and has concluded that future punishments for transgressions should no longer include encouraging him to scrub Cubicle 3 clean with his toothbrush. Or at least, if he does, not to use it for its original purpose afterwards. For the time being, unless you're delivering medical supplies, please steer clear of LHS 340, though this is not a new instruction, as followers of the BGS news will be aware. And if you're very naughty, watch out, as punishment detail has been temporarily handed over to the Mad Monks of Van Marnen via their remote outpost in Barnard's Star.
Seamless. In the week of the annual Hutton gathering with friends attached over in Seoul, the Hutton Hollage teams were rather perplexed when the Type 6 that they arrived in appeared not to fit all the stuff they were going home with. What at first appeared to be a bit of a sore head while packing, Tetris Fail, by the loading teams, actually turns out to be a mismatch in the out versus in quota of equipment going back into storage. The team have been hard at work separating the unwanted detritus from the generously donated equipment and came to the following conclusions. 1. The accidental abandonment of the Hutton Orbital ceremonial pants was entirely unintended, and Phoenix Defier has been reunited with his hazard-sealed, safety-lit, hermetically and biologically safe containment unit. Mrs. Phoenix Defier did object to his putting it on the very important shelf with all the family photographs, however, but a new secure 12-month storage facility has been located, which is 50 years from the house, 12 feet underground, and covered in a concrete and steel casing, just in case. 2. The pile of SRV tyres outside the main hall have had their serial numbers checked, they've logged in the Buckyball Racers, they're logged to the Buckyball Racers. They appear to be waste items as the tyres are showing right through to the mesh weave in places at the end and have bald spots. They have been thrown into the sun as fuel. A large collection of glassware, including bottles, was located and has been sent for recycling. There is no way we're sanitising that lot and reusing them next year, especially in light of our first article this evening. A large blue replica Hutton mug made of our little plastic building blocks will be taken back to the storage and shipping organised to send it to Commander Tizdar. We have tested it for its mods prevention capabilities and concluded that the replica does not perform as well as a genuine Hutton mug. Number 5. A number of abandoned multicoloured sidewinders have been reunited with their owners. Suspicion is that they had been set to self-destruct for fast transportation of their owners back to the home station, but Mr. Dusty has been inside doing the cleaning and accidentally disconnected the wires. 6. 5. Large presentation screens with the remaining items. They appear to be in working order, and someone has taken the trouble of labelling them all. Individually packed, however, as they're very big due to their antiquity. They took up most of the cargo hold and caused more than a little bit of shiploading Jenga while they were being reshuffled. But what does the Sinister Hedgehog Assistance Group Gets Everything Done team have to do with all of this? The Sinister Hedgehog Assistance Group Gets Everything Done team, abbreviated to the convenient SHAGD, is a subset of the Hutton Truckers who specialise in discreet haulage operations. In this case, the Sinister Hedgehog has a specially adjusted Type 6 with a number of internal bulkheads rearranged for strange-shaped items. With a loading emergency declared, the Hedgehog-mobile, which for some reason is slightly sticky on the outside, was pressed into service, rescuing the remaining abandoned equipment and delivering it to Hutton's long-term holding storage facility. Labelled with, "Do not open until Saturday, 16th August, 3311.
Without wanting to preempt either Volcaris' bit later in the show, or even the Gannett News Digest, who put their own spin on all the biggest stories, explosions and successes in the galaxy from the last week, it appears that the anti-Xeno war machine has been rumbling along this week despite taking a few days off for a party. Titan Thor, as a lord of the Titans, named after an ancient deity from Old Earth specialising in thunder, or maybe named after the very day of the week we broadcast this show, has shown signs in recent days of being less of a Titan than it is a big floating free-for-all on the scavenging front. It appears that the Monty Python-esque Vulcarious report from last week was delivered just in time, as he would have to come up with another euphemism for it being no more. Ceasing to be, pushing up daisies, gone to meet its maker, and other such epithets. Reports that are that Thargoid Defence Forces not caught up in the big surf wave of OMG it has gone boom have moved into position defending the last few remaining Titans appear to be accurate, though commanders who've been at the surgery caffeine filled drinks handed out for free by the Brewer Corporation have been hunting down the stragglers. Video footage has been emerging of the final throws and thrashing of Thor, and while we have not yet been able to verify the sources, it appears that the Titan has followed its namesake with a light show and thunderous roaring that's sure to have your canine companion hiding under the nearest cushion. The reduction in the number of active combat zones as a result of the Thargoid incursion is concentrating the firepower of the anti-Xeno departments of the superpowers, as well as that of the Pilots Federation's dedicated Thargoid combat wings, and as of yet, Tharg the Mighty and his or her or their head office have not had a response. Are these Titans the best they've got, or is that it? A couple more down and humanity can breathe a sigh of relief, as long as they're nowhere near the big green cloud? Or has this just been an exploratory expedition experiment by the Thargoids to drain humanity's resources in advance of something entirely more sinister? Has it left us exposed to incursion by other, as yet unnamed, alien races? Or was it simply a time-wasting exercise while Tharg created the ultimate doom for humanity aboard his or her or their secret base? What is guaranteed is that investment in human stroke guard deemed technology no longer appears necessary and no longer required to be fuelled by the various war departments of the superpowers. Rumours that galactic gazillionaires are planning on moving the commercial stage of exploitation of this advanced technology are unconfirmed, though Zach Rackham has been buying up a lot of domain names recently and filing sealed patents over in Shinrata. More detail on this story later in the show. Over to you.
Thank you, Norma. Throughout human-occupied space, young and old pilots alike have been eagerly awaiting the results of their galactic pilots' examinations. Whilst many out there in the galaxy inherit a little cobra and 100 credits from a long-lost uncle and cut their teeth in the old-fashioned apprentice fashion, earning their pilot's license through the tried and tested method of having some good insurance, hanging around in the local car park until they've got the hang of the controls, and then having someone screaming in abject panic in the passenger seat while fearing for their lives for a bit. There are others that approve of the more formal approach to education. Pilots Federation sources have indicated that the number of passes is marginally down on last year, as the average grade issued to neophytes after their test flights and extensive examination. Young Stella Smith from Lave Pilots University was one of the first to open her envelope this morning. "I got an A in piloting, a course to Colonia, 2 Bs in scoopable stars and planet identification, and a distinction in exobiology," she said. Classmate Knucklehead Jones was a little less happy though, as he was classed as ungraded in docking operations after repeatedly failing to get his ship out of the docking bay without getting wedged in the toast rack. He's expecting to retake the examination next year, or join the Apex Taxi Service as part of their on-the-job training. A number of students this year have appeared to struggle with Rocky Ring mass lock avoidance and the ever-unpopular Ice Ring parallel parking, having extreme difficulty dropping at mining locations without emergency drops from supercrews. The advanced levels in asteroid mining involving handling of high explosives seem to be on par with last year, as do the BTECs in manual scooping. Those with the highest grades have been approached by the Pilots Federation with an offer to join their ranks and start on their way to gaining elite status in one of the disciplines, while those who are going through clearing have been offered jobs driving those little yellow cars that go round and round and round the inside of the Coriolis stations. Headhunters from the Buckaballers have been seen hanging around a number of educational establishments looking for those who have a talent for driving around at speed without crashing into things. And Alec Turner is said to have a number of advanced scholarships available to pilots with no sense of fear, very little common sense, and a heavy right foot.
Welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we have a look at what's happening across the 50 systems where Hutton has a presence. First, let me start with a heartfelt appeal. Could you not do stuff in PSPF LF2? It's up at about 80%, we're in the middle of an expansion from there, and I can see it has a boom going. But so do lots of other places. LP532-81, Wolf562, Wolf25 and Wolf124 are all too high. Not a lot of systems, but best left alone until we come back into the 40 to 60% influence window. You know he is in boom, as it is Wolf359, Kokari and 36 Ophiuchi. There's an outbreak in full swing in Y's 0855-0714, and there's a public holiday in Ross671, so it looks like they celebrate Intergalactic Tooth Fairy Day there. The great Barnard Star investment continues. In the Renses, we have gone into an election with the Green Party of Samini. Should we have been in an election with them before? In BD074419, we have gone to war with the Legion's Armada. We don't own any assets there, so there's a chance to get ourselves some property. And you're wondering, yeah, but what does it all mean? Well, if you want to truck it, then go to Narensis and truck it for Hutton in the election. Peaceful missions and trade are king here. Or, you could truck medical supplies to Y's 0855-0714 for profits and good karma. If you want to shoot it, then get yourself over to BD074419 and shoot it for Hutton. And don't forget to pick up a Hutton war mission or two while you're there. Violence and mayhem are the order of the day in war-torn systems. And that's it for this week's BGS update. There we go.
Well, I didn't see any seams, did you?
No, not a thing.
Completely
a thing.
Seamless.
There you absolutely go. Seamless. Perfect show. Shall we just stop there before we... No, let's not.
Yeah, we probably should.
So, good evening, everybody. How are we all?
I'm doing very well. Fine and dandy and tickety-boo.
I am not dead yet.
Yay!
So,
yay!
Always a good sign. And Flossie, how are you doing this week?
Wrong keyboard, Flossie.
Seamless.
And Vulcarius, how are you doing this week?
Yeah, quite well. without seams thus far, so I'm 100%.
Yeah, you managed to talk
fairness,
without being
that's
muted.
All you've said so far. Then.
Yeah, but it was seamless. He's not wrong there.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Yeah.
He's technically correct, and that's the best kind of correct.
It is. So, did we have Frontier live stream yesterday?
Do you know something? We didn't have one yesterday, but there was one today.
Today?
Was there?
Today, yeah. Yeah, it was Planet Coaster live from Gamescom, but, you know, it was Frontier and it was a live stream.
Live stream, yeah. Yes. So that means that today is the last Wednesday of the month.
No. That may be next Wednesday.
No, but that's when they happen. It's the last Wednesday of the month.
Yeah.
But if it was today...
Well, was it Frontier Unlocked or...
No, it wasn't Frontier Unlocked.
Yeah,
Frontier...
you got me there.
I couldn't remember the name of it. Frontier Unlocked is the last Wednesday of every month.
So we got one to look forward to. Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That should be next Wednesday.
Mm.
Which will
means...
be the last Wednesday of the month.
It will be indeed. Yeah.
Which back also outside. Means that
the
next Thursday...
Day
no,
oh,
it's
28th. Yeah, yeah.
Next Thursday is Green Room Night. So everybody start preparing for that now.
Yes.
Get your ear defenders and your ear bleach ready and we'll be good to
get out there and get out there and do some things and then come and tell us about them.
Steady on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no holding back. Not now.
Yeah, maybe
got
not.
Got a new update in Warcraft.
Have you? Yeah.
Well, they probably won't be talking about that in Frontier Unlocked, so.
Yeah. No, but that's more probably what I'll be talking about.
You never know. Right, we got any space news?
We do. Shall I push the button?
Ooh. Yeah, push the button, play the thing.
Push the button!
Push the button!
Space news.
I have a feeling that some of the yeah, slides in this Space News Slides CEO may not be Space News Slides. We just had one of the Aardvark puns go past
previous
weeks.
Oh, jeez.
We'll survive.
It's fine in the edit.
Yeah, of course
it will. So, let's get the important stuff dealt with first, shall we? Stranded astronauts. Are they nearly home yet?
Nope.
That's a good question.
Nope. Okay.
Wasn't there a date on it, though?
Yes, but it's February next year.
Yeah, it's 2025 was the date.
It's about as helpful as the 2030 date for when they're deorbiting the ISS, really.
Yeah.
Oh, and when that asteroid was going to come within geostationary.
Yep. Well, that could save some money and deorbit the ISS while it's there.
Yeah, that's all going to happen at once.
No, the ISS is 400 km or so. I think the asteroid was what 32,000.
If the ISS is on its way in, you could target that asteroid. You could hit that. You could hit that easy.
Nah, you're about 30,000 miles out, which is quite a long way.
Yeah, but you know, think big.
Think
expansive.
Very big. Think space is really big. Somebody's done that one.
Someone has to be the first to be able to say the word space nuke and refer to a real thing. They have that honour. So.
Yeah. And then we'll have to get Kyle to do a new intro.
Space nukes.
Yeah. But you could smash that. You could smash a thing into another thing. Of course you can. See what happens.
Yeah.
Quite as easy as
but last time it was the moon, and that's quite big.
No, that asteroid landed a thing on an asteroid. Remember, and it came back. Remember, it fell over and it went into the dark, and all this stuff happened, and then it still worked and it came back.
I think you're conflating several different missions there.
Maybe
the one that landed, fell over, went into the dark, and then came back was on the moon. It was the JAXA mission. We have shot something at an asteroid.
Yes.
We've done an asteroid redirect on Dimorphos and Didymos.
Fired another asteroid at that one, didn't we?
No, we fired a spaceship at it. Then there was the JAXA, Japanese Space Agency, that took an anti-tank cannon into space and fired that at an asteroid to shake up the surface a little. But that didn't change its orbit very much.
Yeah.
Then there was the one that landed on a comet. And bounced around far more than it should have done. The Philae lander.
Yeah, Philae. Yeah, that's right.
And then there was the sample return from Bennu, which was quite spectacular because they discovered that it wasn't so much a big lump of rock or even a highly dense pile of gravel and rubble, but it was more like fluff.
Yes.
And instead of going into it about, let's be nice and posh and metric here, instead of going into it about 5 or 6 centimetres, they went in over half a metre.
Yeah.
And had to fire the engines to stop themselves getting buried in it. But they got the sample.
They originally thought that could have happened when you went to the moon as well, didn't they?
Yeah, things would just completely sink into the dust.
Yeah.
But it's actually fairly hard-packed dust. So.
Yeah, they didn't know how deep it was.
They also didn't know if there'd be a massive static charge on the moon, so people would leap out and get zapped straight back up into the air.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I say air, into the space.
Yes.
But that didn't happen either.
Yeah. Never mind.
But moving back to our actual headline, they're not coming home anytime soon, I'm afraid.
No.
There's a possibility they'll be bringing them home right at the end of this month, but the fact that it hasn't actually been announced yet means probably not.
I just don't think I would be keen to travel on that thing.
Yeah, well, it's got a best before date on it, which is sort of now-ish.
Yeah.
So if they don't bring them home, sort of now-ish.
I think it'll be coming back unmanned.
Yeah, then they're getting left with it. Crew 7, Crew 8? The next Dragon that goes up will have too few people on board.
Which is also bad for Boeing.
Which is definitely bad for Boeing, but it's also bad for the astronauts because it means that their spacesuits won't fit.
Mm. Yeah.
So they'll actually have to come home undressed, buck naked style.
Oh, dear. Oh, God.
But honestly, I think I'd still prefer that, coming home without a pressure suit on a Dragon, than coming home with
bits falling off your spaceship.
On Boeing's little Starliner.
Yeah, let's not. Right.
So, what's the next story? Oh, we have a Martian hot tub.
The Martian hot tub. They reckon, and I say they, meaning scientists, reckon there's a reservoir of liquid water deep in the Martian rocks. I did this a week ago, so I can't remember anything about it now. The InSight lander, NASA's InSight lander, touched on the planet 2018. It's been pootling around, but it's got a seismometer, and they've been kind of checking for Mars quakes and things like that. Mm-hmm. And some of the readings have gone back and gone, that's water down there, liquid water, which is, fantastic, because that's what, it's like finding, striking gold, really,
Water.
Really cool.
Yeah. So that could make...
Are they certain on the readings?
Fairly.
Probably not. The findings have been published.
Nothing's ever certain, but...
Yeah. Well, they've been published, so now what will happen is everybody else will get the data and do their best to kind of rip it to shreds. And if it doesn't get ripped to shreds, then it's good.
Yeah, they're using the same techniques as they use on Earth to find liquid reserves underground. So it's reasonably well-established science.
I mean, it's very interesting because we know there's ice on Mars and we know it's in the Goldilocks zone.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely warmer below the surface than it is on the surface. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really interesting.
Unfortunately, it's a long way down.
Yeah. But, it could happen.
It's significantly deeper into Mars than we've ever drilled in Earth.
Oh, hollow Mars.
Hollow Mars, yeah. Yeah, but you don't want to drill a hole in it or the air will escape.
This is true. There is a lot of it, though. I'm trying to find if they got it in this article. No, can't see actual details in this article.
Mm. Right, you're saying Mars is like a balloon waiting to pop if you drill it.
Well, if it's hollow inside, maybe.
Of course it is, yeah.
Did you not know?
No, didn't you know that?
It's all part of the firmament.
Well, some of the air must, like the gravity of Mars must keep some of it down. But if it's pressurised, if that's what you're saying.
Yes. Well, there must be if people are living there. And he just didn't see anything in that.
Mia, did you take your tablets this morning?
Yeah, I took extra ones.
That's all right then. In that case, it must be.
That's okay. In that case, it must be true. Must be true. But, I mean, they do know that at some point in, billions of years ago, that water did flow freely across Mars. So, it's,
Well, they've got the riverbeds and everything to, geographics state that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's water eroded, you know, there's water weathered rocks and things like that as well. So, we know there's water there.
It was probably flowing on the surface within the last few million years as well. It's quite a recent thing geologically.
I didn't realize it was as recent as that. There we go. So there you are. They reckon there's water on Mars, but getting at it's another thing, as you say.
Yeah.
That
long
would
way down.
Definitely help significantly towards colonizing.
Oh, yeah, if you can get access to it, yeah.
Yeah, the polar ice caps are much easier to access for that. They're just,
I guess,
in an awkward place because it's cold there.
Mm.
And that's by Mars standards.
Yes, Mars cold.
Yeah, when it's snowing dry ice, you know you're in a chilly area.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
They could dig a well.
Again, 10 to 20 kilometres deep.
Yeah, but, you know.
Did you not hear the little giggle after I said
that? A couple of guys in spacesuits with one of those, you know those wee diggers you get that you can sit on and drive about in? You could down with one of them. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Or Mars nuke. Just nuke a hole through the... I mean, nuking a hole through Mars's crust, that's not going to affect anything, really. And you get the water straight away.
No, what's the worst that could happen?
What, exactly.
That sounds like a Bond villain plot. Nuking Mars.
Yeah, why not?
Shall we move on? Maybe we better had.
Yes. The next one, you really need to look at the picture. It's a Perseid shower over Stonehenge. It looks like somebody's done one of those long exposure things. But when you look at it, it looks like somebody's opened a fucking portal through Stonehenge.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's the joy of the Milky Way.
Yeah.
It does look like it's coming up the top.
Yeah, it does look like it's coming up at Stonehenge. But
that's scary.
That's the long exposure image, surely.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's got to have been done over time. I suppose you can tell when you look at the trails and you can see a couple of those meteors have got like double kind of heads, so they're either breaking up
It's not that. It's because the light of the galaxy, because of the light pollution around Stonehenge, you're not going to see that unless you do a long exposure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's at least tens of seconds, probably multiple tens of seconds stacked frames.
Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive, though.
Oh, yeah, it's hell of a photo.
Mm-hmm. Hella pretty.
Yes. I think I can see Beagle Point.
Just behind that black bit in the middle.
Just behind that black bit. No, well, sort of behind that big wispy bit out on the left there.
I like how it goes pink near the top.
Yes. Mm. Yes. It's very pretty.
Yep.
I mean, it must have taken them ages to move those.
Galaxy.
But it must have taken them ages moving those stones a bit to get them lined up well like that.
On an unrelated note, apparently the altar stone isn't from mid Wales like they originally thought.
No, they reckon it may be Scottish.
Indeed.
Yes, imagine that.
Mm.
That's another stone yous have taken away from us.
Can they prove it?
Well, as much as you can prove where any stone comes from.
Yeah.
They thought it was Priscilla Bluestone, didn't they?
The main ones are, but the altar stone is Scottish.
Yeah. The blue stones, they can definitely track back because they can see the rocks. You can actually see the shape of where the stone was taken out matches up with the shape of the stone. They can match actual stones to...
Yeah, if you split it open, it says Cardiff all the way through.
Yeah.
But the Scottish one's much, much softer.
Yeah, and crumblier. It's a bit chalky.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite as minty.
Not quite as minty, no. It doesn't go minty, but you do get kind of orange and lemony flavoured ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many of the listeners we've confused there?
Yeah, we've just lost people now. We're talking about Edinburgh rock people. Which, if you don't know what it is, Google it. It's quite strange.
It's good shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like crack cocaine.
Yeah. Mm. It's the best thing to come out of Edinburgh besides me.
Yay!
That's a high bar to beat.
You marginally beat it because you can go to Edinburgh and get rock, and then there's the two things together. The rock can't come and get you.
You know, there's loads of places that try and replicate Edinburgh rock, and it just isn't the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glasgow being one of them. Why are you about Edinburgh rock? Why? I'm in Glasgow, you maniac.
Edinburgh rock sounds like a good band name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a genre of music.
Very chewy, slightly crunchy genre.
Yes. Yes.
That's bad for your teeth. I think we'd better move on, hadn't we?
I think
this is getting a little bit out of hand.
We are kind of stretching this out a lot.
So let's get out of space news.
Space news.
Which leads us nicely on to some more space news about a slightly different version of the galaxy. Over to Vulcarius.
We're flying high in the black face, the Thargoid threat. Vulcarius leads away, no fear, no regrets. Guides are tight in his breath, saving humankind. Together we'll defend.
Well, Titan Thor has now exploded. Just like Tyrannus, Ligong, Oya, Hadad, and Indra, it is no more. It ceased to be. It's expired. It's gone to meet its maker. It's a stiff, bereft of life, and it's kicked the bucket and shuffled off its mortal coil. Well done to Frontier for the speedy rewards this time. I now have the Super Silver Six Slayer sticker on my Titan ship. And another noticeable change was the counter-strikes appeared around Raijin pretty much straight away, unlike waiting for next Thursday. Speaking of which, going into this week, huge thank you and very well done to Commander Lady Lucida and everyone at Operation Thunderstruck. An absolutely massive amount of souls rescued from Titan Raijin has pushed dozens of Counter-Strike systems up 16% today already. That's above the threshold for finishing them by hitting the Spire sites. So once those alerts and invasions are done, of which one is defended already, it's on us to make the most of all those head starts. Now, there are also some reactivated ports to defend at the systems Tuggin and Pegasi Sector GW-W D1-115. But by far the best thing everyone can do is push that Spire progress. There are plenty to choose from. To name a couple, you can head over to Pegasi Sector NN-S, B4-7 and B4-9 right next to it. The best things to do at the Spire sites, AX missile bombing the Banshees and Revenants from the air gives good progress if you're good at playing Dodge the Shutdown. The targets are really easy to spot just by looking for their yellow spotlights, unless you have Xanthopsia, of course. Bringing your AX multi-cannons and keeping the skies clear of scouts also gives good progress in itself, in addition to making everything much easier for the bombers. And if you're up for stealing a semi-refined compound sample from one of their spherical structures on the ground, their emissions on the rescue megaship to contaminate them, land on the platform up the top of the spire, do a bit of a jumping puzzle, and sabotage their resource supplies. Stealing a compound will summon two revenants, which are best dealt with by another commander bombing them from the air. But if you can deal with them on the ground on foot, that also works. You'll also need some coral sap from around the site, which is best gathered by bombing it from the air. So, you can see a pattern here. If you're doing that, don't forget your corrosive cargo racks, don't forget your collector controller, and definitely don't forget your limpets. And that's it.
Sagittarius on the airwaves, shouting out the fight. Fogboy Vest rising, gotta stand up tonight. Cast for taking titans, keep humanity strong.
I love that music.
Yeah.
Anyway, do we have a word of the week?
We do have the word of the week. And word of the week this week is lackadaisical.
I know this word. I use it frequently. But let's have a meaning anyway.
You may not use it. I am it.
Lacking enthusiasm or determination.
And can you use it in a sentence, please?
Certainly can. Sometimes I wonder if the radio team are all a bit lackadaisical. Then we go live and I'm not wondering anymore.
I always thought it was lackadaisical.
So did I, but it's I checked and it's not.
I've heard lackadaisical used, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
oh, well.
The word is apparently lackadaisical, but yeah, same difference.
Lackadaisical is the correct pronunciation and spelling, because it's not spelled lackadaisical either.
It is if you spell it lackadaisically.
Yeah.
but unfortunately, pronunciation isn't the right pronunciation of pronunciation.
What about pronunciation?
Yeah, but you pronounce the pronounce in pronunciation.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway,
well, you do anyway.
Interested, for those interested, the word and the meaning is scrolling across our Twitch stream as we speak.
And while Amelia's setting that going, here's one for you. What do you call an anteater who likes trees?
Beth, she loves them. She's sitting out underneath them all the time.
Beth does like them, yeah. So does Jeff a bit, but yeah, mainly Beth. But Beth would then be an aardvark.
Aardvark!
Aardvark! Let's do Flossie with some community news. There's bound to be some this week. It's been ages, so it's got to be some this week, hasn't there?
Yeah.
It's Flossie, and the community goes.
Hello, Flossie here with this week's CG News. I'm afraid there are no new CGs this week, but I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the galaxy, so I'm sure you'll find plenty to do. And that's it for this week's CG News.
Flossie told you what to do.
Right, and now over to Beetlejuice and Witherspoon with the Galnet News Digest.
Mo drew parallels between today's attack in the Federation and the near-death experience of the Emperor in Cubio on the 2nd of August. That also involved a planetary shuttle that was attacked by unknown assailants and narrowly escaped being destroyed, but this time with the Emperor on board.
Galnet News Update, 22nd of August, 3310.
Federal Vice President Jerome Archer has survived an attempted assassination, with King Kumo claiming responsibility. Archer survived the audacious attack on his planetary shuttle by the simple expedient of not being aboard the shuttle when it was attacked. He was just leaving the Republican Party offices in President Hudson's home system, Nanoman, when the waiting shuttle exploded in a spectacular ball of flame. The three crew of Archer's shuttle were not so lucky. According to rescuers, no occupied escape pods were picked up following the blast. And according to Archon Delane, the self-proclaimed King of the Kumo crew, Archer's near miss was deliberate. The pirates claim they were demonstrating that they could, if they wanted, assassinate any leader of any power, even the one who runs the Proactive Detection Bureau. Delane claimed that the superpowers have become complacent about their own security while they continue to focus on the joint effort to drive back the Thargoid invasion. He suggested that with the defeat of the final Titan, all the old rivalries will resurface, with the level of power play between the major powers of the galaxy becoming fiercer than ever they were before. King Kumo drew parallels between today's attack in the Federation and the near-death experience of the Emperor in Cubio on the 2nd of August. That also involved a planetary shuttle that was attacked by unknown assailants and narrowly escaped being destroyed, but this time with the Emperor on board. It is not clear if Delane was claiming responsibility for that attack or if he was just impressed by how well it was carried out. The attack on Achilles Aerospace in Alioth on 20th of June was also carried out by unknown operators who seemed intent on demonstrating how easily they could circumvent security. Most commentators have assumed it was the Sirius Corporation that attacked its rival in a fit of pique after its most popular product was made redundant overnight. But it's possible that this too was the work of the Kumo crew. Delane's message, which appears to be partly a public service announcement and partly a statement of intent, is that we shouldn't be assuming that everything will be nice and peaceful once the Thargoids are gone, and that he and the Kumo crew plan to shake things up. A spokesperson for the Emperor dismissed this apparent threat, describing Delane as a self-aggrandizing pirate eager for the spotlight. Federal politics remains in turmoil. President Hudson is still presidenting a year and 2 months after his term officially ended. Jerome Archer will remain the federal vice president until Liberal Party leader and president-elect Felicia Winters decides to turn up for work, at which point Isolde Rochester will become vice president and Archer will become shadow president. One can only imagine how impatient Lady Rochester must have become in the 10 months since the delayed election swept the Winters-Rochester ticket to power. Winters then decided to do charitable work rather than taking up her role as leader of the Free Galaxy, and has now only 7 years of her 8-year term left to run. As Sol Today pointed out in March last year, Winter's grip on political reality has been weakened by years of ineffectual hand-wringing, and it doesn't look like she's likely to become any more effectual any time soon.
Elsewhere in the galaxy, the latest Buckyball Racing Club event is set in the Burian Protectorate system of Zomba, where the allegedly zombie Burr, and apparently also Rini, patrol, looking for fresh brains to consume. It involves landing at several locations on planet A1A and accessing on foot the terminals at these stations without becoming a tasty snack for the celebrity couple. There's a cheap and cheerful regulation Cobra Mark III build that can be used during the time trial, so it's super easy to take part and no one really minds if you take 6 minutes or 6 hours to complete the course. Returning with your brains intact is, however, a requirement. In other news, there's allegedly an amazing Asp Explorer ship build available, with space for as many luxury cabins as you can fit in a Beluga liner. Lacon Spaceways is still advertising the build, but have so far failed to deliver any Asp Explorers that actually have this loadout. Engineers continue to display the "Here's what you could have won" bar on the left of the engineering screen, showing that sometimes the old method of engineering delivered faster results than the new regulated system. The Diaguandri system is in boom, at least partly as a result of having the closest encoded materials trader to the newly highly generous Jameson crash site in HIP 12099. And some people still don't get the joke about Hutton Orbital.
Well, thanks to Beetlejuice Witherspoon, whose digestion was seamless. So seamless, in fact, that we felt it was unfair and had to insert a scene for them. We're sorry about that. From Galnet News, we go over now to the Galnet Rares with Amelia.
You are about to listen to Amelia Hawk. She tries all the galaxy's most dangerous rare items, so you don't have to.
Into the archives of the last few centuries, especially around the time of the First Fargoid War and the days of Commander Jameson, every now and again the archives turn up something that we've forgotten. It might be a long extinct creature or a trade item that has fallen out of favour, but this week I've travelled to the Aethi system in search of one of those things we invented, but apparently no longer need. Back in the earlier days of space travel, interstellar jumps weren't made using frameshift and modern jump engines, but by making witch space portals, most recently seen being used by fleet carriers and larger capital ships. A highly efficient, if a little terrifying, way of moving from system to system. Originally referred to as hyperspace portals, it was long rumored that the witch space entered between the start of a jump and the arrival was haunted by Thargoids. And indeed, the Thargoids had engineered a way of causing misjumps and ambushing passing pilots. In more recent years, Thargoid arrivals appear to use much the same technology. For the most part, though, these spectacular jumps and the resulting portals were harmless. Or they were, thanks to the Aethi system. The problem with witch space jumps was sickness. Pure, pale-faced, insides turning into outsides, repaint the inside of your cockpit green and have the shakes for a couple of hours afterwards, ick, military fleets. Before the solution was found, we'd often jump to a war zone and then mutually agree to take a little bit of a lie down before engaging in combat operations. Invasions into systems were where the enemy was lying in wait needed overwhelming numbers to be a success, and very, very strong stomachs. The planet Topaz, in the Aethi system, is an unlikely source of the solution. And it was a solution, quite literally, that meant humanity could progress from star travel being a deeply unpleasant experience to one that in subsequent centuries could be undertaken for pleasure, for cruises and easy exploration, and for those heading out into deep space, one that rendered the use of the porcelain telephone, the ceramic gunsder, and the big bucket by the side of your pilot seat totally redundant. Topaz is described as one gadgeteer as a planet that's like a big paddling pool. While it has oceans, there's no deep water. The deepest it gets is about 300 meters. And due to the thin layer, the water that is on the surface is incredibly mineral rich. It's a uniform temperature, making swimming a very pleasant experience, especially as it's nearly impossible to sink. Life forms on the planet have adapted to this mineral broth and outcompeted any non-indigenous life introduced into the planet, no matter how well bioengineered. Studying these life forms, scientists discovered compounds that led to the creation of quillotine, a solution that, when drunk, completely prevents all forms of hyperspace sickness. In fact, not just that, but also all forms of motion sickness or queasiness caused by, bad smells, disgusting sights, you name it. The human response to anything that traditionally would have caused a gag and a retch was, quite simply gone. Other than a small number of pilots who were allergic to quillotine, and they quickly retired to watch space travel on gold tube channels, everyone took it. Everyone took quillotine. Until, of course, the invention of the frameshift drive, which rendered it obsolete and unwanted, which, in the space of a few small years, ravaged the income of Topaz and destroyed their entire economy. To this day, a number of small facilities remain that make quillotine, which is still laced into the drinks of fleet carrier passengers and capship crews. If you wondered what they served at the bar in your carrier, that big tap, that's gin and quillotine. It is available over the counter, and Steve and I will be testing how good this stuff is. Okay, Steve, are you ready? Right, for this experiment, I've had a good pint of this stuff, while Steve hasn't, and we're going to see how various things affect us. Yes, Steve, I'm having the quillotine. You're not. I've got an overdeveloped sense of ick. Slightest thing and I'm off, so I'm having it. You're always telling me that dodgy late-night kebab doesn't give you the collie wobbles, so you're not. First up, 1,000-year matured Apiornis egg. Normally, I can't stand these. They're rank, honestly. But deviled 100-year matured Apiornis eggs in a tray, and I'm not even flinching. Down in one. Oh, heck no. They taste awful. Oh, that's nasty. But as bad as they taste, not even a gurgle. Your turn, Steve. I know, I just told you they taste awful, but we need to test this. Come on, down the hatch. Oh man, you've gone a funny colour. Oh, here, I'll mute the mic. It's okay, everyone. You didn't need to hear that. I know you've pulled your stomach muscle doing that, Steve. You don't need to keep repeating yourself. But it's in the name of science. Right, here's a napkin. You've just got a bit on your chin there. No, I can't get it for you. Actually, seeing Steve turn inside out like that would normally set off a chain reaction. I'd come out in, sympathy hurling. But aside from it looking nasty, nothing. This is great. Okay, Steve, next one. This one's visual. We've tested the smell and the taste. Yes, I know. Apparently, that was a picture Hudson posted on his social media by accident. Yeah, I know he's got no clothes on and is covered in jelly. Okay, you've gone a funny color, but at least you're not filling the bucket this time. Me? Well, intellectually, I'm revolted, but physically, not even a flicker. Okay, last test. Come through here, Steve. What's that? Oh, it's just a little motion simulator. Look, here's a nice 3D headset for you. Okay, I'll climb in as well, and we'll hit this big virtual button here. And whee! This is fun! Wow, I can see why virtual coasters like this don't have long queues. Oh, Steve, you're looking a bit pale. Yes, I know your inner ear isn't accustomed to not feeling like you're bounding down a mountainside in an out of control SRV when your eyes are telling you that you're just, that you, well, you are, but can't you just enjoy the experience? It's okay, I've stopped. What's that? You need a little lie down. Okay, well, why don't you have a glass of this before you do? It works a treat. This is Amelia Hawk reporting for the Galnet Rares Digest from Topaz in the Yayethi system. And I've tried Quillotine, so Steve didn't have to. Oh, but maybe he should. Next time you go buckyballing, I recommend you stop for a glass of this first.
Poor Steve. Yeah.
He always gets the brunt of it.
Well, at least he lived through it this time, although he may be regretting that.
He's possibly wishing he hadn't.
Yeah.
Well, technically, and you know, we like the technically here, but technically,
yes.
Steve has lived through everything so far.
Which clone?
Technically. The current clone.
Yeah, how many clones has he been through?
We stopped counting a while ago.
Yeah,
quite a long while ago.
They've all lived through everything until they didn't.
Right, so this one is technically lived through everything that he's been through.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And technically, he's regretting it at the moment.
I think he'd have been fine if he wasn't so lackadaisical.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
If he got to the Quillotine
first. Do we get
a
bedumptus for that?
I think we probably should.
Yay!
Actually, to be honest, I think it's possibly more deserving of the ban.
That is definitely more deserving.
I think that's all we've got for you tonight.
Yeah.
We've gone over the hour mark, so it's not been a short show.
Yeah.
But yeah,
absolutely.
I think we're done.
And I think it's because we haven't had a certain somebody here blathering away.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Could be.
There's nobody here denying it.
No.
Nobody's
having an argument with it.
Well, don't worry. He'll be back next week, loud and proud.
Oh, yes. Yeah, just in time for Greenville.
Oh, bless.
I'm probably here next week.
Yeah.
There's still two sites fighting over where I'm going to be the 2 weeks after that. Quite spectacularly. But, yeah, next week I should still be here.
Right. Here's the thing, we're all probably going to be here next week.
Well, I'm definitely planning on being here next week.
Well, good.
Mm, me too.
Yeah, me too. I'm not planning to be anywhere else.
And remember, everybody, it's Green Room, so dust off your microphones, install TeamSpeak well in advance.
Or, thinking about it, was it somewhere to go?
Don't you dare. If we have to sit through it, you sit through it.
Flossie, I can pan you just as easily as you can pan us.
Oh.
Ow. Oh. Okay, so maybe I can't. Sorry, I didn't mean it.
So Green Room Week, that means we're expecting, like, literally hundreds and hundreds of people wanting to talk with us on air.
I mean, literally two or maybe three, yeah.
And how can people prep for the oncoming...
They can download and install... That's the one. They can download and install, I don't know, some sort of psychotherapy help software, maybe?
Like TeamSpeak?
Or that, yeah. They can download and install TeamSpeak. If you just Google TeamSpeak or search engine of your choice.
Once they get TeamSpeak, what would they have to put in?
Well, they run it and it will ask them for a server to connect to. And that would be... ts.feathermug.com.
Which is not a website.
It's a TeamSpeak address. Mm-hmm. And once you get there, you get a big warning saying it's full of scummy truckers.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you knew that.
Yeah. And it's available all week, and there's various different open rooms in it that people are very welcome to use for group chats if they are winging up and doing crazy shenanigans in-game as well. So.
Oh, yeah, it's very useful.
Yeah, So worth having.
And it's open to all.
Mm. It is indeed.
As long as you're a trucker.
As like, well, or friend.
Or trucker friend.
Yeah.
Or a friend of a trucker friend who just wants to hang out in the trucker space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you've listened to the Green Room Week shows in the past and thought, ooh, I wish I could get involved in that, then maybe consider therapy. But other than that, yeah, now is your chance. Dig out your microphone, dust it off, install TeamSpeak and be ready for next week.
Mm-hmm. That is ts.forthemud.com.
Which we will announce again next week.
Yes.
Yes.
So all you need to do is download the app and install it. Yeah.
Yeah, come speak to us. We get lonely.
Chance would be a fine thing. So I guess that means it's probably time for the loud noise warning. Is anybody able to do us a loud noise tonight?
Anybody? Ooga, ooga?
Can anybody go
ooga.
Shout?
Ooga. I like a daisy called booger.
Okay.
Ooga.
Well, if we have volunteers for making a loud noise, this is the warning for those of you wearing headphones to turn down the volume or step away from the headphone or cover your ears between you and the headphone or something similar because it's about to get loud. For the mug.
Mug.
You did one extra awooga.
My finger slipped. Scene.
Do you have to press? Do you have to press it?
Journey too long, or cargo too small. Profit margins never really mattered at all. Gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We're taking anything, anytime, anywhere. Loading all the teen out to the brim with the rest for the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug.
Yeah, everybody's seen the trucker song. Flossie always seems to crash into the sun. Skibble lights the pilot on the Xbox One. Helping out the free, you know he leads us well. Trucking across the galaxy, now everybody yell. For the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug.
Everybody's seen the hurting trucker's song. For the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug. You know just where we're coming from. For the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug.
For the mug.
Everybody sing the trucker's song. Give me a large path that I can land on, and I'll give you cargo and sing you my song. No point 22 light years to go. Cruising to no journey too long, no cargo too small. The profit margins never really mattered at all. Gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We're taking anything, anytime, anywhere. So shout it out loud, like you don't even care.
care for them all.
For them all.
For them all. Yeah, you know just where we're coming from.
For them all.
For them all.
For them all.
Everybody sing the Chuckers song.
For them all.
For them all.
For them all.
For them all. Yeah, you know just where we're coming from.
For them all,
for them all, everybody sing the Chuckers song.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show. Everyone's buggered off now, so why don't you bugger off too?
Seamless.